With Marcy Silman, I'm Steve Scher. It's The Record. The Reza family seems like a perfectly reasonable middle-class family. A father, Awaz Reza, is a shopkeeper in the lively Anarkali Bazaar of Lahore, Pakistan's second-largest city and the capital of Punjabi province. Shez is the wife and mother, a nurse. There are three sons. The oldest helps his father run the store. The youngest is studying to be a lawyer. And the middle son, well, he is swept up into radical Islamist politics and is the catalyst for the family's changing fortunes. Haroon Ula is an American scholar of Pakistani descent. He's State Department policy planner now. He's chronicled the story of Reza's family and the greater story of Pakistan's struggle in a new book, The Bargain from the Bazaar, A Family's Day of Reckoning in Lahore. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely honored. As a Seattle native, in a big fan of your show, thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate it. Whitman College grad.
That's right. From Walla Walla, Washington's best onions in the state.
How did you end up going to Pakistan and for 8 years, I think I read, right? Just
That's
sort
right.
of traveling and thinking about these issues.
It's a great question. I grew up in Eastern Washington, small town guy. And, growing up with South Asian heritage, my parents from Pakistan, grew up in the Hanford, near the Hanford nuclear site. And from a young age, people used to oftentimes ask me questions. What the hell is going on in Pakistan? They see things on TV. They see the burning, the flag burnings, the violence. And so the seed was planted very early. When I was 16, 17, I wanted to answer that question. I wanted to go beyond the headlines.
How were your language skills, for example?
Very good. I studied the language more after college and then graduate school and then spending time there. But I grew up with a fair amount of Urdu and Hindi and Punjabi, enough to get by.
So when you went there, did people go, no, you're an American? Or did you blend in?
It took time to blend in. I think over time I sort of, would recede into the back shadows, where people thought, we're not quite sure where he's from. They couldn't guess I was American. But, it was over time I was able to build the trust and relationships with folks.
Well, tell me about this bazaar, the Anarkali, is that how you say it?
That's right. It's really an amazing place. It's the oldest bazaar, the oldest sort of marketplace that survived in South Asia, over 200 years old. And, for me, the bazaar, everybody has to go through the bazaar. It's a great melting pot. Young, the old, the poor, the rich. You have to, I used to just sit there in the back of the old bazaar and the smells, you smell everything from savory bakery to, the sort of smog and very unsavory smells. You'd see, mangoes being sold next door to CDs that are ripped off from China. Everything is in the bazaar. And it's really sort of a microcosm of Pakistan.
And what was Awaz Reza selling?
Awaz sold jewelry. And some handicrafts, and that was his trade.
And what were the shops on either side of him?
So the shops is that he had actually a mango fruit stand on one side of it and sort of a basket weaving stall on the other side of it.
And didn't he have a buddy who was selling cell phones somewhere?
He did. Around? He did, yeah. Those folks are pretty mobile, as they say. They're all around selling parts and new cell phones.
And how did you meet them?
I met them in 2004 at a dinner party. And Awaz was actually telling this really interesting story about being a POW from 1971. And I hadn't heard from many people that had been stuck in the 71 war between India and Pakistan, in East Pakistan at that time, Bangladesh. And from the first time I met him, I just sort of hooked to find out more about him, got to know the family, and became very good friends.
He was a tough guy. He walked back to what then was Pakistan from East Pakistan?
Incredibly tough guy. He was somebody that, he just had this sort of core belief that he could do anything. A lot of it stemmed from national pride, but a very self-made person.
Now, his kids helped him in that shop.
They did. And, that's one thing to me that struck me, that I found more in common sometimes with small-town America and with Pakistan is all hands on deck. I was a paper boy growing up. My sister, mowed lawns. And, just like in Pakistan, everybody has to help out because if you're in the lower middle class, you don't have much savings and you live on the edge of poverty.
The story. All right. So Tell me about the three sons. Just give me a brief description of each son.
So the oldest son goes off to military school. He's, you know, Oase is sort of thinks of him as his mold, wants him to be this great officer in the military. He's unable to live up to those very high expectations, gets involved with drugs and the wrong group of friends. The middle son, gets also hung up with the wrong group and is oftentimes having to navigate different groups of friends. And I mean, the interesting thing about the three sons is, you know, they all come from the same parents, and yet they go on these divergent paths.
Why do you see this as emblematic of Pakistan, this family and their story?
I think what struck me is that, you know, when I saw the things on TV and saying, why do they hate us? And when I would see these things from here, when I went there, I saw within one family the struggles, the chaos of how they deal and cope. To me, the story of Pakistan was, how do everyday people go on with all of this violence and the things that go around it? How do they find coping mechanisms to deal with that stress? How are they able to make sense of life and get content and happiness? And this family showed it all. I mean, this could have torn them apart, this sort of gross tragedy that happened to the family. And yet the parents are able to come together. And to me, it's a story of triumph and resilience.
Haroon Ula is the author of The Bargain from the Bazaar, A Family's Day of Reckoning in Lahore. Is this your first book? I forget.
This is my second book. My first book is Vying for Allah's Vote, which was published by Georgetown University Press, and looks at sort of extremism from a very policy point of view and looks at religious political parties.
So, you know, usually I ask beforehand, but I didn't ask. How much of the story are you giving away?
A little bit.
All right.
A little bit. You know, it's. I think that there's a lot to it, but I think the main thing is that, you know, people want to make sense of this very complex place. And as I used to always joke, all the books on Pakistan are, you know, increasingly worse names. Worst place on earth. Armageddon. The darkest hole of, you know, hell.
I've interviewed the authors of those books.
And they're good friends of mine. But I wanted to write something where I'm cautiously optimistic, looking at young people, looking at families, bringing to life dinner table conversation. And sort of, in a lot of ways, you know, allow people to empathize with the family there, because they are very similar to a lot of families that we grow up here in America.
How much of the, so you came across this family, you're just thinking you're going to tell a story, and then they're part of the news because of the bombing and the son's involvement in the bombing. They become part of the news. There are dialogue in this story. There are description in this story. So how much of it is, how are you gleaning the information, and what did you do to reconstruct it into story form?
Yeah, that's a great question, Steve. I think the main thing is that I was spent so much time with the family. I mean, interviews, countless interviews, you know, living with the family for part of the time, in terms of, you know, I've done over 300 interviews in terms of people around them, police officers, talking to the security establishment that oftentimes followed me. You know, the big thing was that I wanted this to be accurate. I wanted to bring to life that dialogue and to show the richness of, you know, what the families go through. And so it was a lot of years of just sitting there and eating mangoes. You know, with all due respect to Greg Mortensen, you know, and three cups of tea, it's really three mangoes. If you eat a mango with somebody, yeah, and if you've eaten a mango, Steve, it's very messy. It's cathartic. It's like a workout. And when you're ripping it out and it's drooling and, you know, the pits, you get to know someone real fast and your guard is down.
So the story of this book, this happened. These are the facts.
Absolutely. It's a true story.
It's incredible.
It really is. And, you know, the interesting thing about it that even shocks me still now is that there's so many families with this type of story. I met countless number of families that were torn apart. They knew somebody, a son, a cousin that was recruited into extremist groups. They knew somebody that had lost a loved one. You know, sometimes people forget that Pakistan has lost over 50,000 people in the war on terror. And so, you know, they have this very grieving process of dealing with tragedy and violence.
So they lose their middle son in the telling of this book. What's the positive about that? How did they turn that into something that helped them move on?
That's amazing to me. Even today, when I think about it, I get goosebumps, because even though they lost their son, and, you know, a lot of times as parents, even parents here, they said, what did we do wrong?
Sure.
We gave him the best schooling. We gave him everything. We sacrificed him. We wanted him to have a better education than we did. They found a silver lining, both with their other sons, but also in just their everyday work. I mean, they found things to hold on to that still provided them with hope, still provided them with resilience. you know, any parent that loses a son and in a very sort of shameful way, they might want to hide and recede into the background, but they continued to do the good work, to be part of the community, and to try to sort of talk about what they thought was right for Pakistan.
Yeah, I was struck by their feeling that they had let their son go to this madras where extremist teaching was taking place and he had been inculcated into those beliefs, and they didn't know enough initially and then didn't know how to change his minds. They felt helpless in the face of that.
They did. And like I said, it's similar to a lot of parents here, you know, that I grew up with in Eastern Washington, is that, you know, your son or daughter joins a gang and you don't know, you know, how they get caught up in that. It's almost a series of unintended consequences where they get into the wrong group of friends. And Awais and Shez, you know, wish they could have changed the situation. But yet you see also their struggle with knowing their son's doing something very wrong, but also their love for him, and sort of having to deal with that late at night, you know, when they go to bed, that did we do something wrong as parents? But we still love him. And, you know, how do we deal with those sort of competing emotions?
So how do you come out, Haroon, as being positive about Pakistan? Because it's sort of dropped off the headlines right now, but the turmoil remains.
I think I remain cautiously optimistic because I think back to history, and you know, I think back to, I know the, you know, there's the images we see on TV, and there is incredible problems in Pakistan, and in South Asia. But I think back to when Jackie Kennedy was going down Lahore, streets of Lahore, in open motorcade. I think about President Eisenhower going to a cricket match in Pakistan. I think about, you know, Nixon on the back of a truck in Pakistan, and Lyndon Johnson inviting a rickshaw driver he met in Pakistan to the White House. I think, you know, the young people I meet in Pakistan are doing incredibly entrepreneurial work. It's a very young place. And I met enough inspiring young people that I think the future will and has to look better than now.
Wow. I mean, that's a very positive way of looking at it. When we look at this country and all we see are the headlines of death and destruction.
And that's true. And there's a lot of truth to that. There is, you know, my research was on extremism and looking at why young people get caught up into extremism. What is it that, you know, because we want to sort of combat those forces. We want to, you know, amplify authentic voices that are combating those extremists. But I met enough young people that are doing that with social media, that are growing up in a different generation. And so I'm still, you know, cautiously optimistic because I think we have to. We have to bridge the dialogue. And Pakistan's too important of a country to ignore.
Haroon Uloh's book is The Bargain from the Bazaar, A Family's Day of Reckoning in Lahore. He's at Town Hall tomorrow night and then going to be in Portland, and then you'll go back to your hometown of the Tri-Cities to talk to people about it there, yeah?
I know. I can't wait. I mean, this has just been a dream come true. Be back in Seattle, hometown, and then sort of go crisscross the state and talk about something that I'm very passionate about, and this, the story of this family that, you know, as you know, literally changed my life, and I think will change other folks as they get to know about them.
That's great. Go Bombers.
Yeah, that's right. Richland High.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Steve.
This is The Record.